noticed that a lot of blotches on me today. I went to the dermatologist and I got all that liquid nitrogen. It's so much fun. Someone said that their dermatologist does no pain. Oh, that's not my dermatologist. He puts that on, it's like being hit with a lighted cigarette. It hurts, but it's for the best. Now, you know, we can't hide from God. We can't hide who we are. I'm glad to see you here today. I don't know the history of your lives. I don't know all of you by name, but you're here. Now, sometimes we walk and talk differently than we really are. We give reasons for going places, but that's not why we're really there. We cover up things. Now, there's a man, look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. There's a man who comes to Jesus, and he's pretty well convinced in his own mind of where he stands with God. We see Jesus here as a teacher. Now, the Lord Jesus is able to penetrate into our inner being, our inner self, who we really are. You can't fool around. You can't kid. You can't pretend. So if you're here today and you want the story of salvation presented to you, don't play games. Now, this man is a lawyer, an expert in the law of Israel. He stood up and he tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, he's not totally sincere in what he's asking the Lord Jesus. He's testing the Lord Jesus. Now, that's a wonderful question. It's a question we all have to answer. You can't be indifferent. We were having a children's meeting in Quebec. Quite a few children. We were talking about salvation. And we passed out little pieces of paper to all the kids. There must have been 80 children there. And we said, "Oh," this was all in French. I said, "If you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, put a plus on the paper. If you don't know, put a question mark. And if you really are against the gospel, put a minus." So we collected all the papers. And there were three children who said that they were believers. And the rest were all question marks. No one said they were against the gospel. And I said, "I want to say something to you. If it's a question mark and you don't know, you're lost." We'd like to think that God is going to be so gracious and so loving that we're all going to get into the kingdom, whatever we've done. Now, if you look at television and you look at the stars and all the personnel, every time one of their relatives dies, he's looking down or she's looking down on them. Oh, everybody seems to go up. That's not true. Here's a man who's standing on his own beliefs, pretty confident in himself, that he would be able to test the Lord Jesus about eternal salvation. Teacher, which was flattering, you may have a fairly high opinion of the Lord Jesus. You might believe he's a teacher, at least a prophet. We have Jewish friends who do accept him as a prophet, but they do not accept him as the Son of God. The Lord Jesus had to deal with many individuals. And this is a very intelligent man. This is what I would call an intellectual. So he comes confident. He's looking forward to a good debate. But he wants Jesus to realize that he's an important and different type of person than he could possibly imagine him to be. Now here today, as you sit here and we're together and we're opening the Word of God and you're listening, where do you stand with God? Is this a type of question that interests you? What must you do to inherit eternal life? Maybe you don't think about that. Maybe you're young and you've got all your life ahead of you. It's funny as a kid how much I thought about death. Maybe you're not that way. When my grandfather died when I was 6 years old, and in those days they exposed the body in the living room, I was fascinated. Why isn't Grandpa moving? I want you to kiss Grandpa. Why? To show how much you love him. So I had to kiss that dead body. It was cold. Well, that stayed with me. I thought, is that where I'm going to end up? So death was something I thought about as a six-year-old. Now, I love that a six-year-old, I don't think about that at all. That stayed with me. It haunted me. I went to my dad. Go to your parents. They have the answers. Daddy, what's going to happen to me after I die? Kind of a question is that? I was 10 years old now. What kind of a question is that? I don't know. It's a question I need an answer for. Well, ask your mother. Mommy, what is it, Bobby? What is it you want? What's going to happen to me after I die? What'd your father say to ask you? Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. We're all going to die. Back to my father. He said, son, here's the answer. Just fill your life with as much fun as you can have and just get that idea out of your mind. Do you ever have a toothache? Hurts. Well, don't think about your toothache. It'll go away. It hurts. I want the tooth to be fixed. Well, they can do several things. In my day, when you had a toothache, they yanked it. They didn't fix it. Pull it right out. Well, that's the way death became to me. It was like a toothache. It was there. It stayed there. And it would be like I'd go out, it'd be Christmas time, everything's fine, and all of a sudden, this is morbid, that little voice would say, Bobby, you are going to die. What? I don't need that. I remember one time I was at a baseball team. I was up to bat to hit the ball. Put the bat on my shoulder ready to hit the ball. And what happened? Bobby, you're going to die. What? I'm playing baseball. Now that may not be your concern. You say, why is a kid so obsessed with death? Because I wanted an answer. I wanted to know. I didn't know God. God wasn't part of our family. My mother and father, my dad was a Mormon, my mother was Roman Catholic, but they didn't practice their religions. We had no knowledge of anything in our family concerning God's love, God's salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only time I heard Jesus Christ was in swear words. So I had no knowledge. I wanted to know, but no one had any answers for me. This man seems to have all the answers. I'm not saying he's smug, but he comes to the Lord Jesus. And he asks him the question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, our Lord Jesus is very, very gracious. He's looking into the soul of this man. He knows he's an expert in the Jewish law. Now, he gives him a lot of ground to stand on. He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? Now he knows he's an expert in the law. And he appeals to his expertise. Now in dealing with people, we want to get the gospel to everyone we know. Family members, relatives, teachers, medical profession. I was in the bank in St. Hyacinth. The bank manager was a lovely young woman. And I had opportunity to talk to her about the gospel. And she said, you're troubling me. Don't talk any more about that. You're upsetting me. Please, Mr. Thrall, don't talk about the gospel. A couple of weeks after that, a woman, a male lady, was delivering the mail in one of these little trucks. But there was a big sand truck parked on the road where it shouldn't have been parked, and she was looking down. I was watching this. I'm watching her come. She's looking down at her mail and didn't look up until it was too late and smashed into that truck. And the back of the truck went right into her head and killed her. 50 feet away from me. I looked, I gasped. Life can leave you so quickly. Here she is, male lady, looking down and gets killed right in front of me. And I'm upset. I go to the bank. And I had some dealings with the bank manager again. I said, Mr. Thrall, come in. What is it this time? Are you ready to meet God? I just saw the male lady killed. Calm down, Mr. Thrall. I told you not to talk about that. I couldn't help it. Life is so short for many of us. We can't be proud of our indifference or our ignorance. We can't plead ignorance. Well, this man standing there, standing tall. So Jesus asks him, and he gives an excellent answer, as only he can give as an expert on Jewish law. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you were to ask an average Jew to relate to that, he would say, we can't do it. That's all the time? It's a lot for us to have to do. Now notice that standard. That's really a high standard. Who's going to be able, when the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Who would be able to stand up to that standard for his whole lifetime? So Jesus answers this man. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Now notice the next words. Do this and you will live. I can't do it. No one can. So if this intellectual coming to Jesus is testing him, Jesus is going to meet his test with a standard that can't be met. He knows that this man knows that, but this man is going to give the impression, I am doing that. Who in his right mind can qualify to do what it was asked? All your soul, all your mind, it's an impossibility, and rightly so, because we're sinful. We're without hope and without God in and of ourselves. We can't meet God's standards. Now, when you're kind of confident with what your beliefs are, you tend to go too far. There's the standard. And if you do that, you will live. Now, the lawyer says too much. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? I mean, Jesus, do you know to whom you're talking? I am an expert in the Jewish law, and I've given you an answer, clear cut, unequivocal. So I want you to answer me something else to show you who I really am. Who's my neighbor? Huh? How are you going to answer that? I was dating with a college student presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He was attached to a fraternity. He had all of his buddies. They were at a drinking party, but I got him aside. I don't remember his name now, and I said, you have to make a choice. What's your choice going to be? He said, I can't give up my fraternity buddies to trust Christ. I'm taking my fraternity buddies. You have a choice. This man was lacking something very essential to his salvation. He didn't realize it. Who's my neighbor? Tell me. So the Lord Jesus is going to give his answer in an illustrated story. And in these stories, some of the parables and stories that he gave, it reflected life itself. Sometimes the images were there and the symbols, but sometimes the story itself. Because he told things that actually could happen. This intelligent man's going to see that. Remember, this story is for this man. To bring him to a consciousness of his own need of a Savior. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I've followed the law. I'm a wonderful person. I am so high that who could possibly be my neighbor? No one can reach my height. And there is the problem. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Well, this intellectual could identify with the story, the place, Jericho, the road. Yeah, okay. And fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. A gruesome picture. Probably talks about our society today. There's a lot of crime. A lot of hatred. A lot of beating up of each other and murders on the uprise. So the story isn't far out there in left field. It's a man, unnamed, could be anybody. He wants this intellectual to think about that. Could be anybody. He's robbed and he's beaten. He's left for half dead. Now the next expression is very unusual. A very unusual expression from the lips of our Lord Jesus in telling this story. The Calvinists would have difficulty with this expression. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. Wasn't foreordained. It just happened. It's another word they use now, the new NIV calls, happened to come down the road. I thought about that. In telling the story, he tells a story the way people live. Yes, those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus are born again of the Spirit of God, and we live by the Word of God. And God is sovereign. But what we don't do with a young fellow that I knew, very strange outlook on Christian life. He said, I'm going shopping today. And you know what I'm going to do when I get out to the elevator? I'm going to pray, Lord, do you want me to go up or do you want me to go down? What kind of life is that? Well, it's all preordained. Well, the story doesn't say that. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw the man was half dead and beaten, He passed by on the other side. This is a priest. This is someone who is supposed to help in time of need, who has a supposedly a knowledge of God. Here's a nobody lying beside the road, half dead. And a religious person couldn't care less. We lived in Montreal and on 22nd Avenue. It was a busy street at the end of our street. It was a very busy thoroughfare. And one day I was walking to get something from one of the stores. I looked across the street and there was a woman lying on the sidewalk, unconscious. No one cared. You believe that? So it's not, the story's fitting. Those who are in greatest need of help are left helpless. We're glad you're here today. But maybe you need a savior. Maybe your soul is crying out for help. You've been left half dead in your life, and there's no spark, there's no future. You're like in a dark room, and you have no one to turn to. That's why we preach the gospel here. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. The third day He rose again. That if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. There's a spiritual need in all of our lives. And to have eternal life with God, with Christ, forever. To not die in your sins, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Himself, who paid the price for your sin at the cross. But you can't get away from that. Likewise, a Levite. Another religious person. When he arrived at the place, he just didn't go by. The priest went right by, never even cared. At least the Levite looked. Now there are people in your lives who have ignored you, others who have accepted you for who you are but couldn't care less, had no words of hope, no salvation to bring to your soul. You remain half dead. Now remember, this man who asked the question is a very staunch Jew. He's an intellect, but he's a Jew. Now, the Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. I think of the Lord Jesus as an expert teacher. This is going to rub the intellectual the wrong way. What does he say next? But a certain Samaritan. When he pronounces that word, I just can find the intellectual Jew kind of cringing a bit. A Samaritan. The priest and the Levi, which are my brothers, Didn't do a thing. What's going to happen now? What is he going to say? A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now, the wonderful thing about the gospel is we want to bring the gospel to where you are. We want to bring the gospel to you. It's personal. Maybe we don't know the depths of your pain. We don't shy away from that. We want to sympathize, but we want you to hear the gospel. We want your soul to be saved. We want you to find delight in the Lord. And when he saw him, he had compassion. Now, this has got to be working in the mind and in the heart of this Jewish intellectual. This Samaritan really had something maybe he didn't have. And the Lord Jesus is very wise in telling this story. It's sort of away from the man, but it involves the man's attention. The priest didn't have any compassion. The Levite didn't have any compassion. They had all the words. The intellectual knew the law. He quoted the curl, the greatness of what the law could do. But there's no compassion. So that's got to get this man thinking. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds. This is shocking. We were in a certain place in Quebec, and we were with these French Canadians who are lovely people in many ways. This one, maybe he forgot I was English. I don't. But he said, I'm so glad I don't have to present the gospel to English people. What? You know, our desire is to present the gospel to everyone. Every race and creed and color. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. This Samaritan, that's a Jew by the side of the road, half dead. That's what you get from the story. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal. Brought him to an inn and took care of him. Follow-up is so important in evangelism. It's wonderful to bring people to Christ, but sometimes they need to be cared for afterwards. This man went out of his way because of his love for a downcast individual. He didn't care if he was a Jew or not. It didn't work the other way around. The Jew may not have cared if it were. Maybe that's what they thought. I don't know. That's why they went by. They maybe thought it was a Samaritan. You don't get that from the story. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. When I come again, I will repay you. Now, it's a wonderful story. It's unbelievable what this Samaritan man did for this person who was half dead, took him to an inn, cared for him, paid for his lodging, and came back and said, if he eats more, fixes clothing, I'll pay for the rest. Complete care. My sister-in-law, who's an atheist, tried to reach her for the Lord, was helping with the soup kitchen for the homeless, which is noble. That's a good thing. She wanted to do that. So I said to her, when you go, how do you dress? Do you wear all that jewelry? Do you wear expensive clothes? Are you playing a game here? Playing house? Or are you really identifying with the people? She says, oh, I hate when you talk to me like that. I wanted to tell you something good. And she said, you know, you're right. I have to ask myself that question, whether I'm playing a game. When you get involved with people, and I'm sure there are missionaries who will attest to this fact. Yes, they bring the gospel, but they bring medicine. We know a man who goes to various countries and helps the people, teaches them how to irrigate their land in a very simple way. He builds wells for tribes people. He gives them the knowledge. Yes, we go, we present the gospel, but we care for the people. It's good to care for people in need. But you must realize something. This isn't only what we're after, caring for their physical needs. We need to touch their souls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So now he says to this man, well, the man's heard the whole story. Sometimes we forget about the ending part of this wonderful story. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? So which one of these three persons? This is an eye-opener for this man. I find this is wonderful. This is an epiphany. Notice the terminology of the lawyer. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. That's the word I believe the Lord Jesus was looking for. That's why the Lord Jesus told this wonderful story of the Good Samaritan. So that this intelligent Jew, who was an expert in the law, would realize for him to get to know God really, he would need God's mercy in his life. And I believe, because of what Jesus says to him, then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. I believe that man's thinking totally changed. And he realized that he did not understand the compassion of God. And that mercy has to do with caring for those who are in need of caring. And I believe it humbled this lawyer because he needed to go down in order to go up. He needed to be become humble in seeking God's mercy for his own sinfulness. And I believe that man was converted because he didn't have the word mercy in his vocabulary, in his life. Now, Jesus opens his eyes. Now you go and show mercy. I think that man did. A wonderful moment after a wonderful story. What about you? Have you come with preconceived ideas? You have made certain assumptions? You didn't know what to expect, but you're here. You need a Savior. So I went to the Bible camp. Got in with a man who had children's classes. Bobby, you're going to die. Went to Bible camp. Heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And on July 10th, 1945, Bobby, who was bothered by death, trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and his life changed forever. May this be the moment of your epiphany. Whatever's haunting you, whatever guilt you may know, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know each person here today. You know their needs. You know their hearts. You know those who need you as their Savior. Help them to awaken to that need. Help them to say yes to you and to answer the call of the gospel, that they might confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead. Then they too will find happiness and hope and life everlasting. We pray for your blessing and give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.